Subject. It always seems so simple when we start these. When we have these meditation ideas, for me, it seems so simple. And then when we start to spend some time with it,
you're involved.
Yeah. There's a lot underneath. Somehow. There's a lot underneath this one. I can already feel it. It's only one word.
Only one word.
It's only one word.
What will the ego do to this word?
Yeah. So tonight, just think about this. What is change? What is change?
Not the kind you carry in your pocket, I assume.
Right. Thanks for the clarification. Yes. Think about what it means for you to make a change. And what we're talking about is change of mind. We all do it. We're challenged to do it all the time. Sometimes we want to make a change and we can't for some reason. Why is that?
That's what I've been working on for 4 days.
Have it really?
Sometimes the changes occur because we're sort of forced.
It's
we're overwhelmed.
Tracking.
So what is this?
Yeah.
What is this? What is... Think about it. Feel it.
Change.
What does it mean... And what's it like for you to change? What does it feel like when you accept change is coming? Ultimately, where does change occur? Feel it. What is your typical first response to change? Feel it. You're going to have to move in 2 months. 60 days, what you got? You can't park on the street in front of your house for a week. You're going to have to walk. What's that feel like? You now have 2 more weeks of vacation. How does that feel? you decided to stop swearing. How does that feel? Where will that change occur so that you can succeed? Can you feel that place where the change would have to occur so that you can change? Where's that? Now, what does it feel like when you want to change? You want to change. It will be good for you, and you know it. What does that feel like?
Yeah.
You're choosing now. Now, what does it feel like when you look back and see that you have changed and it is done? Decided to change. You practice your change. Been to the gym every day, 12 days. Stop smoking, stop drinking for 12 days. Haven't had one of those big blueberry muffins. 2 weeks. And the change is done, and you know it. You now claim to be a yoga student because you're doing it. How does that feel? What does it mean to change? Thank you. What are you changing?
Oh, it's interesting.
What do you change?
I mean, if this matters to you. What are you actually changing that is resisting?
I'm changing my mind.
Yeah?
It's all happening in here, but then I feel it.
Mm-hmm. You feel it.
If it's something I don't want, I feel resistance. If it's something I do want to accept, then I feel peaceful and ease.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's happening here. What's happening is the way my mind is seeing it. It's happening in here.
Mm-hmm.
Then I feel the effects of it.
Mm-hmm. Change is coming and you can't, you're not choosing, it's coming, you've been notified now of this change. What does that feel like? You feel anything?
Fear.
Anxiety.
Stress.
Mm-hmm.
Worrying about future things that might never happen.
What's being threatened?
Everything.
Yeah, everything! Everything is being threatened. There's this unknown. We don't know what it could reach into every corner of your life.
But at the same time, I know that change is part of life. I mean, nothing really stays the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but how can you... I mean, it's like... I guess it's part of split kind of need.
So somehow we don't accept that that's been going on constantly. Change.
Well, I think there's like a change from the outside that's kind of imposed on you. Like you have to move when you're given notice or, you know, something that's from the outside. And I think, you know, versus the change from within that you want to create. So, and, you know, to both. I mean, both are in the unknown realm. But I think one is you know, the one that you're not in control of.
Uh-huh.
It's painful. I mean, it's difficult.
Uh-huh.
I know in my own experience it has been.
Yeah.
You know, versus the one that you want, that you choose, that you will to. And that's difficult too, but it's very different.
Mm-hmm. It's very different.
Mm-hmm.
How do these differences feel?
Hmm?
How do the differences feel when you want to make a change? That feels one way. There's a feeling to these things. This change thing, there's so much feeling involved in change. Surprising amount. You want to make a change versus you have to make a change.
Mm-hmm. I think that sometimes when you want to make a change and you make a change, there's a lot of unsettling. Also, because so many things are shifting, and you know, you haven't quite found your grounding. It's unsettling either way.
It is.
I think it's difficult for humans to change.
Yes, isn't it? Yeah.
And that's why it's, I don't know, for me, I invite it. I mean, I say to myself, I invite change. It kind of prepares you in a way for those things that just come anyway. But I invite it more from the space of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. That sort of makes me think about when change is difficult. It's for the resistance and the arguing with it.
That's the difficulty. Is what I was saying. It's all whether you think it's coming from the outside or the inside.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it doesn't matter. It's because of what I'm thinking about, what it means to me.
Mm-hmm.
Is creates the pain, not the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like if somebody says you have 30 days to leave, and that's just a neutral statement, but the charge that I put to it, my fear, my insecurity, or whatever, that's where the pain comes in, is what I think it means to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's still happening in here, whether I think somebody is imposing upon me or whether it was my idea. It's how I see it. Am I willing to love and accept, embrace what is, like you say, invite and embrace the present of what is, or am I going to, like when I resist it, then it's conflict and it's not peaceful.
Yes.
But when I accept what is, it's very peaceful and ease, even if it's something that, you know, if I just give a little willingness that I wouldn't normally want to. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it's nice. So now we have this dilemma that change can be resisted and painful. Whether it's a change that you choose or have chosen for you, there's always going to be this difficult ground, this unsettling that occurs, okay? We've also heard that, I think we've heard here, that change is inevitable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Constant?
Yeah.
Happening all the time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good and bad.
But when you want to change something and you can't, I mean, it's like, you know, like a nasty habit.
Yes.
I really, really want to, but it just, it's like, so you fall back into it.
Excellent. That's, yes, right. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. The old ways are so well settled. Mm-hmm. The habits are so strong. The comfort is so strong. The habits are so strong that there's a huge difficulty to making the change you want.
And the guilt is associated with the inability to make the change. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like it's overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
About that.
You know, the Course sort of directs us to this, mm-hmm. how to handle it, I think, very well. Mm-hmm. And it really doesn't matter about the subject. Actually, it's much better if you don't have any pre-notions as to what you're going to work on, okay? Mm-hmm. Because what happens is, as soon as you take a quiet position and you want to open up to something, particularly your thoughts, they, for me, are the doggy dogs, all right, because they've been around a long time and I've been shooting at them, but I haven't killed many. The work is, as I see it, the beginning work is to realize, just by observing your thoughts, okay, and how you feel about it, which is even more important, okay? I mean, it is really. I don't know whether to cry or to laugh or go hide or what. Because I can foresee, I've been working with this for several days now. I don't know how long it's going to take me to clear out all of this stuff that I have judged and talked and lambasted and accused, and I've set up all of these traps, you know, to myself. Every one of them lashes out at me. Okay?
Yes.
They all hurt me.
Well, that brings me back to, what is it we're changing? Especially the, what you just described. You've got all these thoughts and swimming in your head for so long.
Yeah.
Is that not sort of what you consider you to be?
Yes, but it's not at all.
But it's not.
So you just want to realize it is sure and hell not me. Okay.
Yes.
I can't always catch it.
Yes.
I do at times catch it, and it's not me.
That's why it's so hard to make some of these changes, because what we're changing from, we're so comfortable with. We're so identified with.
Yes, you know.
But we're changeless, because that's who our true nature is.
Oh, you jumped. You jumped right out of the world.
Yeah.
You jumped. When she said changeless, she jumped right out of everything we're talking about to your spirit identification. But you're not, you know, if you're in this room and you're pulling air in and out, you're making changes even as you breathe.
Exactly.
And you're in a body that you all know is going to change significantly.
Mm-hmm.
In a number of thousands. It's already changed significantly.
Yeah. No, but what I was saying is, I wasn't just trying to say that there's no such thing. What I was saying is, it's comforting for me to know that whatever changes are coming are temporary, because all changes except for what's eternal are always temporary. And if you don't like it, just wait. And even if you like it, just wait. Because it's going to change. So it's comforting to know that whatever it is, it's temporary.
Uh-huh.
That's why, that's because the part of my mind knows that I, my true nature is not what I'm identifying with when I'm feeling the fear of change.
Uh-huh.
And so a part of my mind knows that it's just temporary inconvenience. And
yes.
And it's going to, this too shall pass.
And a part of your mind knows also that you'll still be there.
Yeah.
Right? With the cancer, without the cancer, with the new job, with the old job, right? That you'll still be you.
Right.
Right, because what I'm identifying as my personality with what's going to change is not really the real me.
Nice.
So there's like that thought, ego thought, and then next to that is that the shining thought, you know, of truth right next to the ego thought. But I'm aware of it, even though I might be going through the resistance of change, I'm aware of it, knowing that, hey, it's really going to be okay.
Yes.
How do you remember to remember that? You know, I mean, I get so caught up in my...
I think it's when you take your armor off.
It's an experience.
Off.
Yeah, okay.
It comes up again.
When I've had the experience of that happening to me, instead of just reading it in the book, that's how it becomes real for me, to be able to have that awareness again without having to remind myself, because I had the experience of it. Before the experience, I just read it in the book. It's like, oh, that's all well and good, but that's not what it's like. But then when you have just one experience with it, you have that to trust, to know that you could build on it.
Mm-hmm.
You're just reading this every night, really, like right before you go to bed, it kind of sets you up. I mean, just reading the table of contents for the, there is nothing to fear.
Yes. Yeah. Well, what he's talking about is so significant. You end up discovering yourself, your unchanging self, is to be discovered. You know, it doesn't fit in the world, okay? You can't talk to people about it. You can't show them your unchanging self, even as you change, right, with your mouth and your words, right? But what she's talking about is this unchanging center of the storm. And this is to be discovered in the Course in Miracles through the workbook lessons will have you discover yourself, this calm center in the middle of the storm, lesson by lesson. The book has 365 lessons, in one for each day of the year. And you'll be in the middle of your problems, your work, or your kids, or your life, or your, and you'll remember to do your lesson at 2 o'clock. And then again at 3 o'clock, and 4 o'clock, and 5 o'clock, and 6 o'clock. Somewhere along there, there will be such a contrast between what the book is saying and you felt. You probably have felt some peace from the lesson.
Yeah.
Maybe at 10 o'clock in the morning. But now it's 4 o'clock, and we've had a day where the work in is getting really hard. But that contrast there, you might discover yourself. You might discover that that peace is really still real at hand and your choice. That's what makes it real. And that's what Wendy, I think, what Wendy's saying.
That's what I'm saying. Thank you, Andrew. That was well...
And you will celebrate the empowerment that you just discovered. You can simply change your mind and your life instantly follows. And you can't ever forget that. It's so empowering. A change is made the moment that you make it.
Yeah.
It's the same way we don't forget what the ego tells us, the same way with the repetition of having the truth, we don't forget what the power of the truth, just the same power we don't forget when we repeat the ego's thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, to make a change, what has to happen?
A willingness.
Shift in perception.
Yeah. There has to be some kind of a willingness, a shift, a release of the old way. Mm-hmm.
Willing to surrender, let go, and have Holy Spirit reinterpret for you.
Mm-hmm. The thing that changes me right away is shock.
Yes?
Shock.
Uh-huh.
How something I thought
I just, did I? I did say that. Mm. No, I said that. Mm. How can I? Could I? That must be the ego. That can't be me. Mm-hmm. Okay? It must be. That's all wrong. But that really has an impact on me because it sneaks up. Uh-huh. The ego has one moment, knows all the tricks. Uh-huh. And there I say something, or I think it.
Yep.
Okay? It doesn't matter if I say it. Mm-hmm. It's just as bad as if I think it.
Yep.
Same, same.
Yep.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Now, this is an easy change because of the shock.
Yeah.
It is like in my kitchen, I used to think that my, you know, partner was leaving the cabinet door open in the kitchen. I thought, I'm being such a nice guy for closing this cabinet door for her. You know, she just needs a little help from me, and I'm being very nice. Well, she left for a week, and I know that door started closed, and that door was open again and again and again. And I had discovered, with no other alternative, that it was me who was getting my coffee cup out and turning right, and leaving that door open. It was me.
Yeah.
And
oh, that's funny.
It was such a obviousness. Mm-hmm. That there, now every time I see that
there
door,
there's nobody there to blame.
Nobody else to blame, you know. And in neurobiology, they call it the LTP event, long term mm-hmm. potentiation. The brain says, whoa. And little hormones come up and it allows the brain to set a memory immediately. Same thing happens when you're, you have exciting events in your life and you almost hit a cat or something with your car and you actually skid sideways on the road. You'll probably never forget it. Oh, all that. Oh my God, it was so exciting and terrible at the same time. And it's just set in memory. These are easy changes.
LPC, you said left foot movement.
Yeah, long-term potentiation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
What does that mean, long-term potentiation?
The neurons have now connected it to form a memory.
Oh,
and it's a long-term
okay.
memory.
So,
and it's a brain
so you
thing.
Actually solidified the memory
yeah.
from there.
Yeah, yeah. The short-term memories... Are don't have this ability to stay. You know, they don't they don't get trapped
fast
in their own connections.
Remembering.
Yeah, it's quite an event, really, to make a memory. We digress. So, but it's very helpful though because these type of easy changes can lead us to where I want to go with this, which is when you want to make a change, there is some meaning.
Purpose.
Yeah.
That you're holding.
Yeah.
That's why you want to do right. yoga, or why you want to quit smoking, or why you want to start wearing your seatbelt.
Well, I want to find out what I need to forgive. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What the block is. If there's something in the way, why you're angry.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to be angry anymore. Because you saw yourself angry.
You want to participate
somehow.
In...
Because I was a maestro to program the whole damn trip anyway.
You're capable.
Right. In every way. So there's only one place to look.
Yep.
Okay.
Solo mio.
There's all this crap going on in my brain.
Love the way
okay. With these sayings and these quick cut me downs and judgment here and I mean I can just say, I look at a peanut butter on the shelf in the store and I say, Skippy's peanut butter. I don't like that CEO. He's really a whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, as if I know that's the case. Mm-hmm. You see, I remember something from way back that guy was a flub dub, okay? And he ought to be out of there. Okay? But that's the kind of stuff that gets me, too. Boy, it's buried in there deep.
It's very honest every day.
Okay, so we got a little bit of intro, maybe, into what we'll read tonight. We're going to get a lot more out of this paragraph now, I think, than we possibly could have. Turn to page 334 of the text. This is chapter 16, section 2, paragraph 8, page 334. Look at that, Dick. You didn't think we would get to the book tonight. You didn't take it out of your cover.
Yeah.
I got my handy cross over here, though, so I'm safe.
All right. Hey, I've got one. Oh, look at Leo. We both got the same one from Andrew.
Yeah.
We
got I got this one from Amazon. Same thing.
Same thing.
They both start with A.
If anybody wants a cover for their course book, Wendy, like
yeah, look at this one Andrew got me. You get the zipper to put all the stuff in.
Yeah.
The notes in it, and a thing for your pens.
Yeah. I have them. I just haven't put them on the website yet. I have two different types.
And they're really cheap. They're
one has a big strap on it.
Yours is pretty messed up, too, your book.
So this is paragraph 8. Do not interpret against God's love, for you have many witnesses that speak of it so clearly that only the blind and the deaf could fail to see and hear them. This year, determined not to deny what has been given you by God, awake and share it. For that is the only reason He has called to you. His voice has spoken clearly, and yet you have so little faith in what you heard because you have preferred to place still greater faith in the disaster you have made. Today, let us resolve together to accept the joyful tidings that disaster is not real, and that reality is not disaster. Reality is safe and sure, and wholly kind to everyone and everything. There's no greater love than to accept this and be glad, for love asks only that you be happy. And we'll give you everything that makes for happiness. Mm. Okay. So, first sentence. Do not interpret against God's love. We have many witnesses that speak of God's love so clearly that only the blind and the deaf could fail to see and hear them. In this previous paragraph, It closed with this wonderful sentence. Could you not look with greater charity on whom God loves with perfect love? And this is your brother. Look around you. Could you not look with greater, a little more open heart, a little more tolerance, a little more patience with those around you, since God loves them with perfect love?
I always thought that meant, can you not look at yourself and maybe love yourself?
like
give yourself a break.
I think that's even better. Yes. Mm-hmm. Certainly. Yes. Could you not look on yourself with God's love? Because your brothers or yourself, same. At the end of the day, there's only one to be observed. Pretty good. Hmm. This year, determined not to deny what has been given you by God. Hmm. Yeah. What has been given you by God? What kind of things are God's gifts? What's the course talking about here?
What's that?
What kind of things does God give?
Peace.
He says,
joy.
Don't deny what God has given you. What has God given you?
Shit.
Yeah? How about this? What has the ego given you?
Suffering.
Okay.
Pain.
Tension.
Fear.
Tension. Anything else?
Delusions.
Lying.
Lying. Cancer. Delusions. Anything else?
Pretending.
Pretending. Yeah?
Fear. Loss.
Jealousy, anger, lust,
taxes,
greed,
loss, sickness.
What has God given you?
Joy, hope, and happiness,
peace.
Hope, peace.
God is
love.
Yes, love.
He does everything.
Well, what else has God given you?
That
compassion.
Compassion. Wow, that's a good one.
Patience.
Require things that are already required. I mean, are already resolved.
What's that?
So God must be kind of loosey-goosey because Everything's fixed.
Uh-huh. There's no problem, you mean?
Well,
everything's
there's
fixed?
No problem on this planet. He doesn't even recognize it. Hell, his fog bank is too thick. and ours is too thick, and he can't get through it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. What is he doing?
What are you talking about?
God.
What are the gifts of God?
What is he doing up there?
What are the gifts of God? We had a lot of listeners. Are there any more?
Yeah, the same as the characters of a teacher.
What?
It's eternal. God's gifts are eternal.
Oh.
The eternal moment, right?
Oh.
Oneness.
An eternal moment. Now is gifts of God. What else does God give?
I want an endless.
Freedom?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Open-mindedness, yeah. Freedom.
Creativity?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Faithfulness?
Can we even comprehend it?
Huh?
Can we even comprehend?
Oh, well.
Same as, yeah.
Depends on what, you know, you're talking about as we. Okay. Where we're learning how to comprehend the gifts of God. And we know that we don't as ego-identified because they're insane. Yeah. To be tolerant is insane to the ego. We don't want that gift of God. To be patient is insane. You snooze, you lose. So we can't comprehend patience from an ego perspective, that's for sure. How about trust?
Honesty.
How about trust?
Trust.
The gift of God is trust.
Mm-hmm.
Real trust. Boy, that feels so different than any kind of half trust, three-quarter trust.
Mm-hmm.
I trust you about 80%. Good for that?
I like the way he pauses.
It's so different from 100 real trust. Carol, I trust you with my heart and soul. I trust you. No problem.
Wow.
Fool.
It's so different, right? So this is a gift. This is a God's gift because it comes. The trust comes with real understanding. How about honesty?
Habit of quality is just in the manual at the back.
That's what I'm going through.
Yeah, the manual. Quality of the teacher. That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
trust, honesty, tolerance, patience, kindness, you know, generosity,
kindness.
Well, kindness isn't one of those, but we kind of throw
same
it.
Same as compassion.
Yeah.
Generosity.
And it's all unconditional.
Right. It's unconditional. That's what makes it so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it feels so. Right. So the ego cannot comprehend these things. Mm-hmm. This is why I'm here, because I'm abandoning my ego's thought system and promises. Because I know it can't. It always goes 80%. Can't go 100. This book says I can go 100. That's what I want. That's how I want to live. That's how I want to abide.
That feels good, 100%.
It feels really good. You know, there's a saying.
It's like a sure thing.
I forget who said it. But it goes like this. 99% is a bitch. 100% is a breeze.
Wow. I like that.
I think it's Esther.
Is that your new license plate?
Yeah, the good bumper sticker. Yeah.
Wow, that's good.
It's really hard to go most of the way.
Yeah. Partly trusting.
Partly
it's
trusting.
It's like partly fearful.
And part of you is looking for when you should withdraw your trust.
Yeah.
It's very hard to live that way. But all in, it's really quite simple. You know, you show up, you're all there. Nothing to hide. Nothing to defend. Yeah. Ego doesn't work on that scale, but you do if you want to be comfortable, happy, peaceful, joyful. Then you will learn to do this. And that's what this book is doing for me.
And we have that choice all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so gifts of God. We got unchangeable, permanent. What did you say? Eternal? Somebody said.
Mm-hmm.
Eternal? They're trusting. They're
generosity.
Yeah.
Patience.
Defenselessness.
Guiltlessness.
Guiltlessness.
Vulnerability.
Invulnerability. Open-minded. Trusty. Honest. Joyful. Pure joy. Yeah. All these additional things. You bet. Okay, so all of us here have felt the the freedom and the power of some of these gifts of God we've just thrown on the table. And we all felt the contraction and of all the gifts of the ego. How small that is and how great. Good. So just to get you into that, through that sentence right there, because we read past these sentences so fast outside of this room. You know, so this is our chance to really look at these things. So this year, determined not to deny what has been given you by God, period. Look at what has been given you by God. The ability to be trusting, honest, patient, tolerant, open-mindedness, generous, defenseless, and so forth. Now, awake and share it. Share these gifts of God that have been given you. For that's the only reason that God has called to you. His voice has spoken clearly and let you have so little faith. His voice has spoken clearly, certainly. And God's voice is, in this realm, the Holy Spirit. And that's when you choose to do the right thing. You choose maybe to be patient this time. This is God's voice. You choose to be honest this time. That's God's voice, because it's a gift of God. Honesty is a gift of God, because it's an essential quality of truth, of love.
Yeah.
God is love, you are love, and love trusts. Love is honest. Love is tolerant. Love is patient. Love is gentle. Love is faithful. Love is open-minded. That's why these are the gifts of God, because they are God. The elements of truth, the elements of God.
They are our true nature.
Yeah, they're your true nature. Very good. Very good. Mm-hmm. So isn't that great?
That is great. What a contrast.
That His voice has spoken clearly, Holy Spirit has spoken clearly to you. Because all of you have been moved by these things in your life. And yet you have so little faith in what you heard. Here's the rub. Comma. Because you have preferred to place still greater faith in the disaster that you have made.
We're still trusting what the ego disasters have given us.
Even though we felt the positive effects of the gifts of God, we still lean toward out of this desire not to change. What you're changing from already has a momentum. It's in place. It's how you do things. You yell or you honk your horn. Or you doubt people who say, I love you. Oh yeah, really? First thing is to say,
myself from love.
That's okay, but what do you want for it? These are habits.
You want my body.
These are habits that are in place. So they have momentum, and we trust them, and we think that they are worthy of holding on to. I'm not going to become vulnerable just because you said a few nice words. So says the ego, defend. I still have faith in the disaster that I have made out of those words, I love you. I've made a disaster out of them. Yeah. Okay.
We're talking about
a change here.
You got to the core.
We're talking about a really essential change. Shall we receive and live as proponents of the gifts of God? Look, we'll just pick one of them. How about honesty? Let's just pick that one. You know, Course Says of Honesty? This is a manual for teachers on page 11. Is that right? 9, 10, 11. And honesty is this alignment with what you think,
I love this,
what you say, and what you do.
Yes, all three.
None of these three things are in conflict with the other.
That helped me so much.
What you're doing is not conflicted with what you were thinking you would do, or what you said you would do. This is honesty. How simple is that?
And it helps us to know if we could trust others by if what they're thinking and saying and doing is consistent. Mm-hmm. It lets us know who we can trust. Mm-hmm.
If you're not aligned in yourself, or you're thinking one thing, but you're just speaking a little differently, and then doing what you said instead of what you really thought. Now, how can you trust Lisa when she says, I'm going to do what I said I would do? Or Lisa says, this is what I really want to do, Wendy. So now she's telling you her thoughts, she's speaking them, and she's going to do them. But you, just 5 minutes ago, know that you're doing something you really didn't want to do. You said you would because it's nice, and you did it because it's nice. But inside, there's a little war going on, a little disgust with yourself. You're not being honest. One of those pieces is missing. Take any of the three pieces, it doesn't matter. I just picked one. And you make it misaligned with the others, you're being dishonest, and you cannot trust the honesty of somebody else. Because
I can't trust myself.
You've proven that it doesn't, it's not connected.
Only the trusting is trustworthy. Is worthy of trust.
Only the trusting can afford honesty.
Careful. You know what I mean.
Only trust.
Only the trusting.
This is right out of the course. Honesty. This is a wonderful sentence in the course. Right there, I think it's on page 9.
I love that.
Only the trusting can afford honesty, because only they know its worth.
Wow.
Honesty has, you know, the trusting actually has huge benefits, huge payoffs from choosing to trust versus to doubt and to, you know, defend and to attack. All those they obviously have huge costs.
We spend most of our life in defending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're talking about here is pretty serious changes.
So when you're trusting, you're really trusting God, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. In your life to work those things, whatever needs to be worked out.
So it turns
out, because you're taking it to that level.
It turns out that you are trusting God in you.
Mm-hmm.
That you can actually live from the power of God in you. Mm-hmm. Trusting God so that your car never runs out of gas again.
It's our birthright, isn't it?
That's a problem. Trusting you to be honest with yourself and saying, I will never run out of gas again. This is what we're talking about. You see, God does not exist in the world outside of you. God exists in the power of God, the truth of God, the ability to move mountains, all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's to be discovered as living in you.
Mm-hmm.
So you are capable of never running out of gas again. Because you would, as the Course phrases it, you will learn to trust that the world is not made up of, is not governed by the laws the ego made. Ego's loss. Ego's law is loss. You will have to run out of gas no matter what. You don't even try, just get lucky and hit a gas station before. No. You actually can be honest. Yeah. You can take one of these gifts of God and align your thoughts. I'm going to put gas in a quarter tank. With your words, Wendy, I put gas in a quarter tank. With your actions, there's gas at a quarter tank.
You can always count on yourself to fulfill your promise to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put a Heidi key on the car somewhere this weekend. There's a thought, mm-hmm. and there's action tied to it. Mm-hmm. And so it's honesty with yourself is what we're really talking about. You align with yourself. You're empowered.
We are a child of God. We have God's Spirit within us.
Yes, yes. And now when something appears to happen in the outside world and somebody lies to you, bold-faced, and you said you were going to trust them, and you tried it, and it really didn't work out so good.
You could trust that you can't trust them.
It took all your money. Yeah, you learn. You learn how to trust your own peacefulness. You can go to peace even as, and practically, we learn to trust that this person will take the money right out of your wallet if you leave it on the counter. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. If you go to Eastside Palo Alto and you leave your iPad on your front seat, you can trust, it's no judgment here, but it will probably be gone and there'll be a broken window to show for it. It's just, you know, there's no surprise. You can trust that.
But I find that when it comes to people, if you show people that you trust them, even though perhaps they may have been untrustworthy, showing them your trust speaks to their higher self, and they will rise up to that occasion and become trustworthy.
Yes,
because
said.
Somebody trusted them.
Beautifully said.
Sometimes.
Well, but but I'm finding it most of the time.
It's more peaceful to do that than not to do.
And it feels peaceful to me to trust. And if, you know, I mean, it's a better way to live my life.
Yes, yes. Truly trusting. If you are able to communicate how deep your trust is in somebody, it would be very hard for them not to take this promotion.
Nicely said.
That's good.
And we've talked about this before. In all of these, you know, patience is this way. I like to use the word kindness. When you're kind, you will be transformed, as those around you. Kindness itself is transforming because kindness is kind. Mm. It is kind. And so both, all its effects, kindness has this effect, this contagious effect. Like, if I really give you the trust, you might elevate a bit. Mm. And take that as a compliment. Yeah. Because real trust, now, when you now we get the body language that says, God, I hope this works. I'm going to give you the keys to my car. Don't crash it. You know, versus complete trust. You just feel it. It's all body language and the whole thing. Really present when it happens.
Yeah.
This is a communication. And it is an essential element of love. It's an essential element of love. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't require that the car not get crashed. Because by giving you my car keys with so much trust, I really feel free. I'm really glad to be this trustworthy. And I did this with my motorcycle. I have this fancy street bike. And I let a buddy of mine, he's going to just run downtown. We're working on his car. He says, take my bike. He'll go get your spark plugs. Take my motorcycle. He's great. I want to do this. And he gets on it, and he goes 4 feet and just crashes it. Right? He just, you know, right on the drive, stalls it, you know, and it's kind of tall, and his feet couldn't reach it. Oh, what a sound, let me tell you. Fiberglass crushing everything. Like that. But you know what?
It felt good to trust.
It felt so good to trust. I even though this damage occurred, I celebrated in my, you know, within myself, because I was so glad
you were free
that I'd given him this to go do this, because he really wanted to ride the bike, and it's a fun thing to ride in the summertime and all that. And I was so free, and there was no cost to my trust as I was celebrating, even though it didn't go right to the world's view.
Beautiful.
I was so glad that I had freely given. Mm. I felt the freedom of really giving him the bike to go do this, no matter the cost. It was really cool. Mm.
Nice.
That trust just paid off. So it was so amazing. I wasn't expecting it. You know, I was basking in it. I was kind of giggling. Mm. This coursework really works, I got to tell you.
Wow. You didn't react when it fell.
No.
And I bet he paid to fix it.
He did. He was really distraught. He was really distraught. Yeah. Yeah. But he was. But he was relieved. He was relieved.
That's beside the point.
Here he is. Yeah, but he was really—he was confused that I wasn't upset, but he knows I'm a course student. He knows this course book is pretty wild. Someday I'm going to read that. He says. No, it's my buddy Steve.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so
nice.
Now this year, okay, yeah.
That's a good experience.
Yeah, it was surprisingly wonderful. Wow. Really. Yeah. Okay, all right. So his voice is spoken clearly, and yet you have so little faith in what you've heard because You have preferred to place still greater faith in the disaster that you have made. Well, today, let us resolve together to accept the joyful tidings that disaster is not real, that reality is not disaster. What we're talking about is making a change to your faith. The faith in how you live. What you give yourself permission to do. Do you need to yell? Do you have to get it done absolutely right now? This other person have a hard time putting it together? Can you try trusting? Even though, maybe a little evidence?
It sure feels more peaceful to trust. Since we could choose to trust or not to trust, despite what's going on with that person, it's so much more peaceful to live that way.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Can you try listening to somebody? Maybe asking them to fill in the more details so you can really understand? Be a little patient and tolerant with them? And defenseless? Can you do that? Is that possible for you to actually do that and be non-defensive and patient and tolerant the next time you have some kind of an altercation? You can do it. That's what we're talking about.
Tell me more about that.
Make these changes.
Yeah, I think the resistance with trust really comes out with relinquishing control. Mm-hmm. You know, because when you trust, you are giving up that control. And that,
yeah.
And the ego loves, I know I do, you know, I like to control things.
Yes.
That's
you know, because, yeah, because then that's not, you know, because of the fear. And it's all driven by fear.
Indeed.
So,
you don't want to be a victim.
And so trust is a really big one, to let go of that. Uh-huh. And trust that it's okay, regardless what the outcome is.
There you go.
Very good. Right. And the victim is in your head.
Control for
it's whether you think you. I mean,
we all have.
Just like we screw up, and God continues to love us unconditionally, so we trust. And people are going to screw up, but it doesn't mean you're a victim. It just means that's life, and you continue to go on trusting.
Just a mistake.
Because really, the benefits are for you. That's where the benefit is. I mean, you get to live in trust.
Yes.
Which is a much more peaceful way to live.
Yes. I find it less storage.
Yeah.
Yes.
Less what?
Storage.
Yeah, but much less work.
Yeah, no, but I mean all the stuff that I accumulate.
Uh-huh.
By going the other route, just like Jiffy Pop. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, a good liar has a very good memory. And he has to keep up the memory of all the lies he told. Same for somebody who has to defend and judge. You have to remember what it is you're watching out for. You judge to be harmful. Now, the other way goes. When we move the other way, that Barbara was talking about, when you get into this fully trusting mode, no matter the outcome, this type of trust can afford more trust because it's all for your good. You see, it's looking at a bigger picture. Like we talked about last week, if you just look at a rose, it's beautiful, sweet, red, oh, soft petals, smells so good, doesn't it? What surrounds that rose?
Thorns.
It has thorns. Where did it come from? What was in that soil that it grew from?
Fertilizer and dirt.
Chicken
poop.
Droppings.
And dirt.
And bacteria. And rotted living things. Last year's roses that died got turned into the soil. That death and destruction and stink.
You just changed the whole...
That's where the rose came from. If you look at this bigger picture, look at the sort of economy of a rose, if you will, we would have to accept a whole lot of death for this one beautiful, pretty life.
Right. That's a beautiful analogy.
Mm-hmm. And that allows you to be a little more tolerant, a little more trusting. Yes, I know.
I like
that. Break that eggshell.
Wow.
And the omelet comes forth.
Yeah.
Ah, and the omelet comes on. I love that.
Do we have a demo of that?
That rose was really beautiful.
You want me to cook you an omelet?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so we're talking about change here. These essential changes that the Course is inviting us to make. It's in the face of the disaster that we have made that we have faith, more faith in. Then honesty, then patience, then trust, then tolerance. We have more faith in be defensive. Use your fear to guide you so that you don't become a victim again. Memorize your judgments that seem to have worked for you so you don't have to make them again. Just automatically, when you see somebody like that, you know what they're like. Right? As the ego says.
What does the ego bring? You told us is suffering.
That's
so
right.
If we trust that, we're back to square one.
Yep. But look at the momentum in these things. These are all wise statements from the world.
Yeah. Things we believe.
How better can you prepare and protect and defend yourself so that you won't feel pain in the world? You should really work on that, Claudia. Got a great book for you. It's about 10 ways to prepare yourself from suffering. Yeah. Wow. That's one way. The world, that's a disaster we have made. And the Course says there is another way. Mario says, God, there's so much baggage. There's so much to maintain in this way of the world. The Course says, there's a much easier way.
Yeah, I wore armor for a long time. I couldn't even see.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what we're studying here. Is to release those difficult ways that require a good memory to being present. You don't need any memory at all. You just show up and be patient and honest and trusting and tolerant.
Non-judgmental and
faithful, gentle. Allow joyousness to come through. Be open-minded. Just be that way. You'll be fun to be with.
Just show up and be present.
For you and for anybody else who's using your presence. Why? Because these 10 things in the Manual for Teachers.
The burden.
These are the things that I think is what the Course says. This is the definition of loving. These are the blocks to the awareness of love. If you're not patient, if you're not tolerant, if you're not honest, if you're not trusting, how can you possibly be loving if you're not trusting? If you're not tolerant, if you're not gentle, if you're violent, how could you possibly experience love? Mm-hmm. How about open-minded?
Mm-hmm. Where's the button to eject out of this?
I know.
Put your finger up. Put on your forehead. There we go. Found it. Found it.
Great, that was good.
Did it work?
Bye, Dick.
Bye, Dick.
I just had another bad thought.
Oh, all right.
Oh, no.
Back to the workbook for you. Okay, so you got a feel for this change that we're being invited to make here. We would have to cut off the allegiance and the addiction to the world as we know it.
Yeah.
All those promises of the ego we just talked about, we got to cut them off. And by that, practically, what I'm talking about here.
Anything of value, everything. That's mm-hmm. good.
All the things that you're valuing that have to do with defense or attack or dishonesty of any type. It just becomes an easier way. It can be a little hard up front, you know. Maybe what will look like loss might occur. But what you'll discover is next time somebody crashes your motorcycle, it actually feels good. How's that possible? The trust was so rewarding that I extended that. It was so rewarding to me.
You experienced the feeling of that freedom.
I loved that.
And trust. You got to experience that because that's
I was so free.
Where it came from.
I was so free.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a wonderful thing. Okay. All right, now. Look at this next statement. Reality is safe and sure and wholly kind to everyone and everything. Well, I hope so. This is what we're trusting. We're trusting that this safe, kind, sure, that this is a law of God. That God is indeed, what, powerful enough to be loving? It's reality. Unreality is where you diverge from that and we have loss, we have these disasters, where there's actually damage done. And that's what we call the world of the ego. Where loss is possible. You remember the first sentence in the book? The first paragraph?
Nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal.
Exists.
Herein lies.
Yes. It's talking about invulnerability. Nothing real can be threatened.
Yeah.
Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God.
The truth of
God. Yep. And in that. Yeah.
I don't know which way you go across.
If it matters, that's a problem. Okay. Okay. Now there is no greater love.
I can have an argument with myself with that. I can argue with myself about that.
Forgive yourself, Dick.
Yeah, sure.
There is no greater love than to accept this, now that reality is safe and sure and wholly kind to everyone and everything. There is no greater love than to accept this and be glad. Now you're trusting, see? Now you're tolerant, patient. You can afford to be. Because reality is kind to everyone and everything. There is no way to lose. Not for you, not for anybody else or anything else. For love asks only that you be happy. And will give you everything that makes for happiness.
Wow.
That goes for, you know, goes for you, of course.
Gosh.
And for every part of you, including what you think you see out there. If we make the change, the core change,
yes,
in how you operate, what you think is strong, Mario, where your strength is, if it changes to these attributes, these gifts of God, happiness has to ensue.
Yeah, I kind of experienced that about 9 years ago. I didn't know what it was, but now that we're talking about it, it's so crystal clear because I came into work after going to the spiritual setting that I went to, and I came back, told everybody I was retired. I was retired, and I had full coverage insurance for the rest of my life. And they thought I hit the lotto.
Yeah.
And I told him I did. So how much did you get? You know? Oh, I don't know. I know his name is God, and there's this Jesus, and there's this Holy Spirit. But anyway, so I just wanted to show that because that's what I was trying to figure out what we're trying to be in that setting.
Beautiful, beautiful. That is what we're talking about. It's a change. Mm-hmm. The essential miracle we're talking about. All the sinners, all these different types, all these miracles you'll experience are all essentially that new identification.
Yeah.
That doesn't have to worry.
Yep.
That's got full coverage.
My function is perfect happiness. Okay, that's function for me. You know what I like about Andrew's story is, in the world, the situations that occur don't have, it's not that they have to change or be really good things happen. Like, his motorcycle still crashed, but he experienced the peace and the freedom that he allowed his mind to experience and extend to somebody else. So it doesn't mean that all these things have to work out really nice and right, and the outcome and all these things that we think we're controlling that we really can't control have to turn out really nice and sweet. But it's because of this thinking we're going to experience the effects of it, which is whatever we're thinking we're going to experience, peace and joy and trust. We're going to experience the beauty of that regardless of how it turns out in the world. That's why I liked your story.
Yeah.
And then all the things that we all think, like, I forgot, the new girl said, what's your name, new girl? I'm sorry.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, Cecilia.
Yeah, I like what you said, Cecilia, because how many times have we gone through life thinking that if we can control it, then we'll be safe and happy? How many times have we tried to control it and it didn't turn out the way we wanted because there was really no way to control it? It was just an illusion that we controlled. And so we invested all the stress into having all these situations and all these people situations and all that stress. And in the end, you know, it didn't turn out, you know, bringing us the peace and the freedom and the joy and the ease of mind.
The ego succeeded.
It's just the illusion of control rather than the reality it is.
And how much?
It's actually weak because it's not strong, it's weak.
And how much pain and difficult conversations occurred as we were trying to control something that didn't end up the way we planned.
And to manipulate situations so that they will be the way you want them. And yeah, you're right.
How many opportunities for kindness were just passed right over? How many opportunities for the benefit of being patient, even for just a moment, were passed over in this effort to control what just didn't work out right anyway? All these moments of the possibility of being loving.
And then you bypass all the free real estate.
That's it, Mario.
I know.
That's it. You got it.
Maybe think of the presidential debate. There's none of that.
Let's talk about that in 4 years. Carol, would you read for us paragraph 9? Oh, who's ready? Paragraph 9. Let's go to the next paragraph.
You have never given any problem to the Holy Spirit. He has not solved for you, nor will you ever do so. You have never tried to solve anything yourself and been successful.
So much for control.
Is it not time you brought these facts together and made sense of them? This is the year for the application of the ideas that have been given you. For the ideas are mighty forces to be used and not held idly by. They have already proved their power sufficiently for you to place your faith in them and not in their denial. This year, invest in truth and let it work in peace. Have faith in Him who has faith in you. Think what you've really seen and heard and recognize it. Can you be alone with witnesses like these?
Oh, this is great. Thank you, Carol.
Powerful. I know, since we talked tonight, my faith has strengthened.
Nice.
In unlocking some of the belief that I held in some of those ego thoughts, some of those myths that Mythbusters that you broke open, you know, like that program Mythbusters. Uh-huh. You broke open some of those eggs, and those eggs were not fertile. And I realized that, you know, if my faith in trusting the God Spirit within me is stronger from what we talked about today.
Nice, beautiful.
You know, it's so crystal clear that the reason I would choose attack or defense or all those things will never deliver what I want from them. So I feel like it busted the ego because it's like, I don't even need you because that's not what I want to get out of it. It's like, nice. it doesn't promise anything that I want. So I feel like tonight, even stronger, my faith in trusting the guidance of my God self is stronger right
Beautiful.
Now.
Beautiful. And that's the motivation for change. That now you believe you will get what you want from the other way.
Yeah.
Change is easy.
Oh, God. See, the only reason I would choose an ego thought is because I think that for some reason I can get something from it, like safety, nice. Security, and unconsciously not, you know, and denying, you know, not really being aware of it in my present, but somehow unconscious, I think there's something that could deliver me. Otherwise, why would I choose it? Why would I choose suffering? Consciously, I wouldn't choose to suffer. But now, even unconsciously, it's become more aware and conscious.
Beautiful, Wendy. That's the way the Course sneaks up. And it starts to change the way we think. What we have faith in is our strength. It changes. We're strong with the ego, Now we're getting weak with the ego.
Yeah.
What an investment.
What's the title of this section?
I'll get close to that 51%.
Something about holiness.
Something about holiness.
Something about holiness.
It's called the power of holiness.
Yeah, power of holiness.
That's what we're
and I think
about.
It's also what you were saying about your relationship with God. It's become so much more real,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That you're trusting that
mm-hmm.
because you're praying and you're holding it up there
mm-hmm.
versus, you know, and then... versus the control you had.
Mm-hmm.
So I know in my own personal life, that's beginning to shift.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's, you know, because I like to make sure that I covered all my ground so that,
mm-hmm.
you know, I get this result.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm just like, okay, well, I did what I, you know, had to do
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
let it go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and,
nice.
You know, here it is. And mm-hmm. it's completely different.
Nice, beautiful. It is.
Because
huh?
you know, and the ego hates that.
Uh-huh.
The ego wants you to think that, you know, you can control it.
You right. make you fearful again.
Exactly, and exactly. You
but
know?
Then you
and
can just tell yourself
busy,
the truth.
If you're busy doing all this stuff that has nothing to do with God,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
Or your relationship with God, mm-hmm. or trust in your relationship with that, you know, being there.
Mm-hmm.
I love what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What part do you think procrastination plays?
Yeah. Procrastination is a willful denial.
Willful? Could you go into that a little more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. You have decided a change is good for you, but you've decided tomorrow's a better day.
Like going to the gym. Mm-hmm.
So what you've done is that I can tolerate the old, with it not going to the gym for another day. And so it is a denial that you've already decided going to the gym is worthwhile, that this change is worthwhile. I really should be honest. It's a good idea to be honest. And one more little line. I'll get some extra of this. A willful denial of what, see, this is the most painful thing. Is that now you know the truth and you are holding it, withholding it from yourself. That's procrastination.
So that's confidence.
So that's doubt?
No, it's not doubt. It's in fact, it's faith that's being denied. It is the willful denial of enacting your faith.
That so going you're not
to the
acting
gym,
on it.
Going to the gym will give you better faith. Sleep. Going to the gym will give you a better looking body. Going to the gym will allow you to keep all your clothing because you've just gone a little past what'll fit. You know, it's going to be expensive.
Be healthy.
Yep. Make you look better. All these things.
Okay,
but you're not going
to
go.
So the willful denial, what do you tell yourself? I don't need to go today.
Yeah, I can do without it. But you don't believe it.
But the part of you is in conflict that knows that
right.
it's... You could list 20 reasons why you really need to go.
Yes.
Below my blood sugar, my...
Yes.
You know, all these reasons. So the willful denial.
Yes. 20 reasons to go... One reason not to go. I don't feel like it. That's the one.
I'm glad you picked that example.
Yeah, you did.
God loves me the way I am.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you really love me, God.
God loves me the way I am.
Yeah.
I'm there anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Doesn't it imply that you were feeling trust?
Yes. You mean the procrastination?
Yeah. It does, doesn't it? Yeah. That's a conflict that you're just kind of,
mm-hmm.
oh, you have this recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And then why? Because it's sort of self-destructive to procrastinate.
Self-destructive. Yeah. Self-destructive. That's a good description of the ego.
Ego.
Yeah, that's right. No, that's absolutely right. It's self-destructive. It's seek, but do not find.
Oh, that's good.
Look really hard on how to get the blood pressure lower. Not spend all these, you take all these pills the doctor gives you.
Emotional.
Keep your clothing that you like so much. Seek, but the ego says, great, now you got a way to do it. You really struggle with heart, but don't do it. Don't find it. That's the way the ego works. Keep the frustration up. And you know, lots of
ego keeps you in that suffering.
Indeed. Yep.
So remember you taught us the different levels of trust. You know, you have the thought and then the trust faith and then there's action. So yep. We stop at the faith and we're not going into putting faith into action by procrastinating, right?
If that's right. You're going. So what
are
you
talking
about?
We're not taking the last step.
Yeah, we did this great breakdown in progression on.
Remember what the action
on what trust is. And so what we're talking about here is and faith is. Is you first have a concept. It's just an idea. It's just a thought.
I think you were there.
You just have a thought, and the thought gets moved up into a belief. The thought is exercise. It's moved to a belief when you learn or think or recognize, if I exercise, then I can keep my closet as it is. Well, my blood pressure will go down, or my cholesterol will go down. All these books and doctors say that. We have a friend who did it, and their blood pressure went down. You know what? I believe my blood pressure will go down if I exercise.
And I can eat more.
So now this is, and I can eat more. I can eat more of my favorite foods. Yeah, that's right. And so now this is a belief concept that's moved to a belief because you've seen it happen, and you've read it, and you would tell anybody who said, how can I get my blood pressure to go down, my cholesterol to go down, and fit into my old clothing? Exercise. Right? So you believe it. Now, next step is you would actually do it. We're moving the belief to faith. What are you going to do with your Tuesday, Friday, and Sunday nights at 6 to 7:30?
Just go to the gym.
Got to go to the gym.
Because you've got to trust. Before you even get the results of the workout, you've got to trust that it's going to give you what you have.
That's right. So we're moving this trust has now driven us into faith. Because we're actually spending time. We're not going to the movies. We're not going to watch our favorite TV show. We go to the gym instead.
We actually drove to the gym, sat in the parking lot, and almost went in.
Right, so at a cost.
You can dream and wish and want and plan and plot and scheme all you want, but until you actually do something, you aren't making it real.
That's right.
You know, that's the stuff that makes it real. When you do
that's right.
Do
that's right, because trust is not real yet. That's if you true. Trust it, yeah. It doesn't make it real. Knowledge makes it real. That you've followed your trust into faith. You I went to the gym. You have every week for now 3, 4, 6 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
And now get on the scale.
Wow.
Jeez, I've lost 12 pounds. Where did that go? My clothes go fit great. I eat pizza now. I don't even notice it because I've added 30 more minutes on my Stairmaster. This is knowledge, folks. Nobody can take that away from
real world examples.
From experience.
From experience.
From putting the faith into action.
Experience is experience is what translates the faith into knowledge.
So the procrastination for me is between the faith and. I get up to the faith, between the faith and the action. There's where the procrastination is. It's like
that's right.
You don't take it to that next level.
Faith
where
is action. Your problem is trust and faith. That's your problem.
Oh.
You have trust because you're willing to do it.
Yeah. And faith because you know that it would work.
Faith
in
is
your
when
head.
You, see, I don't know what you trust, but I know what you have faith in.
Yeah.
Because you can see it.
You take the leap forward.
Because you take the leap forward. I see you at the gym.
Oh, by getting there, that's the faith.
That's right.
Okay, so the problem, the weakness is
it's
the procrastination is the faith.
An act of faith.
The act of faith.
Yeah. Reflects what you trust.
Oh, I see.
It's an act of faith. Now we've moved.
So what's laziness? Where does that come from?
This is part of our procrastination. And so when you actually act on it, now you own something, see? You've gone to the gym several times, and we know that when you have fulfilled this, you will get the benefit of any of these things. Going to the gym, being patient, being defenseless, trusting.
When you've done it.
Being honest. There is a result from that. There's a payoff from all of these things. Yeah. And then with the experience, now you know it. This is what knowledge is. Nobody can take it away from you. You can deny it and stop going to the gym. But you know. You know forever now. The Course says that has that effect, that the Course in Miracles is going to bring you to a knowledge of who's responsible for your unhappiness and your happiness.
You are.
Say
it in Italian.
Yeah.
Uno ma, mua.
No, uno ma.
Mia, mua. What do you say?
Sono mio.
Sono mio.
Oh, sono mio. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly understanding what he...
The Course is saying, is that you will discover our game, our task and our benefit with this book. One of the greatest things it gives you is self-empowerment. That if you make these changes, you get these results. They will not be made for you, but you make them.
God can't even do it for us. We have to do it for ourselves.
That's right. That's right. So the, and so it's very empowering, what we're talking about. You discover that these changes are done by you and also for you. And the what we did is we just walked through the staircase of how these changes actually occur in mind, from a thought all the way to knowledge. And the way we do is we move through it, thought to belief to concept, and then you try the concept, the belief, we'll talk about it, you have the belief in it, and now we go up from the belief into trust, you actually argue it, and then faith, you actually do it yourself, an act of faith, you experience it. Because of your faith,
yes,
you did it, and then you know it.
That's
you actually decided not to yell back in your next argument. Because somewhere in this meeting we talked about it. Maybe that's what you decided to try. Guess what? The other person stopped yelling. And you had a quiet conversation about taking the trash out. Instead of
trash.
Back of that darn trash can.
What if somebody was yelling at you and you decided not to yell back and you didn't, and they stopped yelling at you, but then you didn't, it was kind of dishonest because you felt bad because you let them trash you.
I thought they stopped yelling.
Well, they did, but I felt like I didn't stand up for myself like I needed to.
But you did.
You felt you didn't win the argument?
Well, it wasn't really an argument. It was. Well, I'll talk to you after.
All right.
Without yelling.
All right. But yeah, first, the first really thing that happens is that
I felt like I'd sold myself out.
But the first thing that happened is that there was not as much anger. Even if you're still upset on the inside, when you manifest, the body will answer the call. It will start pumping your heart more. You're going to get some corticoids, you know, glucocorticoids, cortisol, but pumped into your blood. Mm-hmm. And blood pressure and the face will turn red.
Cortisol.
And you won't be going to sleep so easily that night, regardless of the outcome, whether you stood up for yourself or not. Because you didn't yell, everything has changed. The way you were seen by the other side has changed. Next time there's an argument, maybe they won't start with the yelling. For sure, immediately that night, things were just a little quieter. Still, you're still frustrated. You know, you felt could have done more, should have done more, all that. But already there's a result that was not as extreme as when the ego lets the body run riot.
I like that she didn't allow her ego to run.
So, humility.
After years
humility?
Yes.
What is humility?
Right. Yep. Well. Humility, in Course in Miracles terms, is that you understand that you don't do this.
Okay.
You, the small y you, who thinks you have so much control, are not the bringer of happiness. You're actually surrounded by happiness. It's much bigger than you. And this is true humility, to allow it to be, rather than you have to go do it yourself. We'll do a night on humility because there's a lot to say about that.
Okay, because I was just kind of like going with what she was saying. I stood back, thinking this was humility, and I was like, okay, I'll catch it with humility, and get even with silence. I don't know. I think I'm going about it wrong, but
yeah. Well, because see, course has a beautiful way of talking about humility, sort of reverse of how the ego looks at it.
Okay.
And what it is that you are a son of God.
Okay.
And it says, if you would just be humble and just only be what you are, it's fantastic.
Okay.
And powerful.
Because the Son of God never has to explain anything, because you are truth.
Okay, because
ego says humble is to back off and become small and mousy.
Right.
That's humble to the ego.
Right.
Course in Miracles is, well, same idea, you know, be what you really are. Tolerant, patient, honest, loving, kind, open-minded, an extension of God.
Stay true to who your big self is.
So humility carries those?
True humility, yes.
Not the world's definition.
Because of what you actually are.
Okay, good. Because then it's working. Because
it's upside down.
It's just, I take it and I just like, then I smile too. You know what I mean? Like,
wow. Yeah, that's right. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it works.
Wendy does. Wendy takes it and she smiles.
Yeah.
Because she's honest.
And I say thank you.
She's honestly not attacking. Now, what happens is our ego's still attacking, even though we're not talking. Inside, the ego's still attacking. And that's why we're frustrated. We're still wanting to get something from it. But as you continue, you will find an instant and complete reward in simply forgiving. Because it's justified.
It reverses everything.
With your course teaching intact, the daily lesson, whatever it was for the day, that probably would allow you to forgive that situation. It would allow you to forgive it honestly, you know, without having to make anything up. Whatever that lesson is for the day. My grievance is hide the light of the world in me. I could choose peace instead of this. I've given everything I see all the meaning it has for me. I'm never upset for the reason I think.
Yeah.
Any of these lessons.
Work on all this.
And there's 365 of them. They have the ability to actually change your mind, to reverse your mind in what you were doing. And that pushes the ego out. And you will find completion and happiness. But it does indeed start with getting used to not yelling back right away. That's a good place to start.
That's a really good start, even though she felt uncomfortable. It's okay to feel uncomfortable because it's upside down thinking.
Yeah.
You know, the upside down thinking is, oh, I'm a doormat, I'm a victim. But when you get, that's because the ego is interpreting that. When the Holy Spirit starts interpreting it, all of a sudden, what happens is, thank you for telling me that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it makes for a better life. I mean,
they love who they are now.
This is the disaster that we've made, says that there should be attack and defense, and you have to fight your way through it.
It's totally upside down.
You can break that cycle with tolerance, kindness, mindedness, with a thank you.
Just one step of the dance. Changing that one step of the dance.
Yep. You really can. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You could just say, well, how long do we want to stay in this situation?
Yeah.
Do you want to stay in it for all night or a week?
Yeah.
How long do you like this to
stay
last?
How much do you want to be miserable?
One microsecond.
That's a great question.
Let's finish it right now. Forget it.
Yeah. But of course, says, would you rather be right or happy?
Done it many times.
That's tough,
business.
And after a while, you don't even have to do it.
Just
everybody knows.
The only part of us that wants to be right is our ego. Which is the part we learned tonight, which is the one that will guarantee our suffering.
That's right, yeah.
No, the one that guarantees your suffering.
Getting anything out of the ego.
Don't say that anymore, because I know you don't believe that one. Don't even tell yourself that ever. After all these years, don't give it one more reinforcement, because it's had a lot of practice believing that.
Few and far between times when I lose my sense of humor, those are the days I'm really in trouble.
Anything for a cry.
That happens.
Oh my goodness!
What a nice
group. Take a deep breath.
Wow.
You have just commanded your body. May it never command you again. No more stress. no more fear, no more fear on top of fear. We talked about tonight making a change. The Course is inviting us to make change in the core way you see your life from where you get your strength. This is a change of mind. Indeed, it ends up being an act of faith when it comes time to actually be patient, actually be gentle. But it has immediate rewards. Mm-hmm. Let us invite the gifts that God has given us. We've talked about them beautifully tonight. Mm-hmm. Let's invite ourselves to actually be those gifts. Mm-hmm. Let's be them. Let's do that. Mm-hmm. And go to the gym, too.
Make it real.
Make it real. Make it real. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.